Grace, greetings. Welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 27th of June. I'm your host, Paul White. Don't need a lot of intro today. If you've been with us the last few days, you know we've been playing for you some group discussion / Q&A from our group in Buford, Georgia. More good stuff here today. Hope you enjoy it. Never have I heard anybody say, come on up here, we're going to slaughter lambs. And people go, well, why not? I mean, never done that. However, I've heard a lot of, now that you met Jesus, here's what you need to do if you want God's favor. Okay. Sounds different? Not a bit different. It's killing lambs. We would say, I'm not going to kill a lamb, but we would do whatever else you ask me to do if that means getting to heaven. I mean,
To stay saved.
Right. Yeah, that crucial stay saved. Now that you've accepted Christ. And I don't even really like all the terms we use. We're real hung up on stuff like, have you made the Lord the personal Savior of your life? They go, there's not a verse in the Bible of making the Lord your personal, make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior. It sounds real spiritual, but it's not Bible. I mean, they didn't walk around, Paul didn't walk around going, how many of you want to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life? They did come into the faith of who Jesus is, and water baptism was their big link. It was their big moment, that connector, when they went down into the water and they came back up and they went, you just died, and we just buried you. And you come out of the water and they went, and you just resurrected, just like Jesus. That was big. You know, now that I can see and I can feel and I can understand. So then you get pulled off to the side and go, well, now you should probably kill some lambs and probably go to synagogue and, you know, or at least the males in your family should be circumcised because that'll connect them to Abraham. Paul gets to that fifth chapter and he goes, look, it is for freedom you've been set free. God saved you to save you because he's a dad that loves his kids and he knew you were lost and he didn't want you to be lost. And the simplicity of the gospel is dad gets excited when he finds what's gone. I mean, if it's 100 sheep and one leaves, Luke says he leaves 99 in the fold and he goes and gets one. And when he finds the one, he throws a party and he gets excited. It's because he's irrationally excited about finding us. Yes, irrationally. The leave 99, go get one is not, that doesn't make sense. But that's God's love. It doesn't make sense for me to love me this much and care for me this much. It's the woman with the lost coin. You turn the house upside down to find a coin. And then when you find it, spend it throwing a party to invite people to your party to celebrate the fact that you found the coin. The coin you no longer have because you just spent it throwing a party. That's an irrational story. And every time I read that, I think, what an irrational God who would spend the currency of heaven on me and you. And that's an awesome thing. And throw a party with his grace and his favor and still throwing that party for us to this day in every moment, in every encounter that we have with him. And then you dovetail into the prodigal son story where, hey, dad, I want my money. And he goes off and slops hogs and he wastes it and comes home and dad loves him. And dad even loves the kid that doesn't want anything to do with the party because he runs out in the field and he holds on to his elder son and he loves on him and he tells him this whole thing should have always been yours because you belong to me and I belong to you. It's an irrational God with an irrational love. It is for freedom we've been set free. It is because we're loved. It is because I throw a party for one sheep and one coin and one kid because I'm excited to have them. And it is for freedom I want them. And, you know, I have two kids and I want them to be free and I want them to love life. And I had them so that they could love life. I didn't have them so they would love me. And I think we've so screwed this up that we think the whole purpose of me being saved is to be a good worshiper. It always bothers me when I hear Christians say, you know, the whole purpose of us coming to the Lord is so that we would praise him. God created man so he'd have someone to praise him. No, he didn't. He had billions of angels that were doing a great job praising him. He created man so he could recreate himself in the earth so that he could walk and talk and in different expressions, men, women, boys, girls, every language, every color, it's amazing. He gets this rainbow of himself on the planet, and he says, I'm very good. I like what I see. It's awesome, and I didn't create any of you so you'd love me. no more than I had my kids so they'd love me. What kind of a narcissist has kids and says, you know, the whole reason I had you is so you'd jump up on my knee and kiss me and say, I love you? No, it was the opposite. I didn't have you so you'd love me. I had you so I'd love you. So I could recreate myself in the earth. So I could see the world through your eyes and feel excitement through what you feel and love what you love and laugh at what you think's funny and enjoy what you enjoy. And because I know what I enjoy, but I want to know what you enjoy and I want to love what you love and I want to hurt where you hurt and I want to see what you see. And that's God through us. And don't buy the lie that you were made to go do something for God or tell him how much you love him. You'll never have a problem doing things for a God that loves you, and you'll never have a problem telling God that you love him when you know how loved you are. It'll be easy. But you are made in his image because he wants you to be free. So Paul looks at the landscape of the church, and he goes, man, they're trying to drag God's people back in a bunch of junk to stay saved. And he goes, "Why stay saved? God's terrible at this. If he goes to all of this trouble to save you through Jesus, only to lose you every time you have a bad thought, say a bad word, make a stupid decision. He's not very good at saving. If saving is simply to set you up for complete and abject total failure at your next fall, he's terrible at it, and he's not worthy of your praise. I mean, why would you give your allegiance to that which merely sets you up for a disastrous fall? Why do you owe anything to that? I no longer believe in a God that cannot keep me in eternal consolation and eternal life. Because I can't believe the phrase eternal life or everlasting life that is lost two or three times a week. I mean, I really, and I was raised in that, and that's all the Christianity that I knew. Mm-hmm. And I'm not downing my dad, who was my pastor, and I'm not downing the ministries in my life, and we were doing all we knew to do. And I preached for years that way, just trying to get people back to get saved again. You know, I mean, I would have closed this meeting tonight with how many of you feel like you probably ought to rededicate your heart to the Lord because you just now realize that you're probably going to go to hell. That's all we got time for today. We'll give you a couple more days of this before the June essay, and then we'll roll into July 1 coming up pretty soon. Hope you have a great day. God bless.